for Illinois Issues, I'm Daisy Contreras. Campaign volunteers across the state have been out in full force in recent weekends, collecting signatures for Democratic and Republican candidates for governor, Congress, and state legislature. Third-party and independent candidates have different filing deadlines and a higher number of petitions they have to collect. In this week's Illinois Issues In-Depth report, Mary Hansen explains a recent change in the rules for third parties and the ongoing debate about where to draw the line for candidates who are neither Democrats nor Republicans.
Hi, I'm Josh Dillon with David Gill's campaign.
Josh Dill spent a Sunday in October gathering petitions for a congressional candidate. He's knocked on hundreds of doors for both Democrats and third parties, including when he ran for Congress under the new Lincoln Liberty Party in 2014. The reaction from people answering the door is about the same, whether he's asking them to sign for a new party or an established one.
Most of the people that vote all the time are interested in options. So they want to know what you stand for, but it's just about sheer numbers. And you have to hit 10 times more doors and talk to 20 times more people and hope they want to sign.
The number of signatures needed to run for office in Illinois is several times more for third-party candidates than for Democrats or Republicans. Supporters of the rule say it ensures election integrity and that candidates with little support don't end up on the ballot. But the higher bar is one reason ballot access advocates say Illinois is one of the most restrictive states. A recent federal court decision eased some of those rules. In September, the court struck down a requirement for third parties to run a full slate of candidates for statewide or countywide office. That means if the Libertarian Party has a candidate for governor, it's not required to also have a pick for Secretary of State, Attorney General, Treasurer, and Comptroller. Lex Green is the chair of the Libertarian Party in Illinois. He was a defendant in the case.
The fact of the matter is that in the past, we've had to recruit heavily and convince somebody to be a candidate in name only. We can relax a little bit now, knowing that if there is a position for which nobody wants to run, we don't have to do that anymore.
The state could appeal the decision. Its attorneys argue that the restriction promotes political stability and avoids ballot overcrowding or voter confusion, and it's a point made often to defend strict ballot access rules. Former Illinois State Board of Elections Executive Director Ron Michelson says there's something to that argument because of ballot fatigue. That's when there are so many candidates listed, voters pay less attention to those at the end or don't finish their ballot at all.
If you had a goodly number of additional candidates on the ballot, if you let all these new parties and independents, regardless of whether they had a modicum of strength or not, if you let that on the ballot, I think you'd have more ballot fatigue. So I think there's a good public policy reason to put some restrictions on that.
In his view, the rules right now are too tough, and he's not alone. Richard Winger publishes a newsletter on ballot access nationwide.
The number of signatures is so out of whack with the rest of the country. Now that North Carolina improved its ballot access bills, Illinois and Georgia are the only two states in the country that ever require independent candidates or the nominees of unqualified party to get more than 8,000 signatures for U.S. House. And that's so hard that it almost never gets used successfully.
Even if it were easier to get on the ballot, political science research shows that only a handful of third-party candidates end up winning elections. That's according to Brian Gaines, a professor at the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois.
In the states where it's been easier to get on the whole, they haven't won a lot of seats. They have put a lot more candidates forth, and sometimes the candidates act as spoilers.
That is, they pull votes away from Democrats or Republicans, and it's one reason established parties often try to get them kicked off the ballot. But third-party candidates can play a different, important role in elections, says Richard Winger.
At least they get to go out and talk to the public and explain what they believe. And it's a great relief to people with minority views to be able to express them. If you couldn't run for office, you really wouldn't have that forum.
Advocates for Change will have another chance to argue their points in a case brought by an independent congressional candidate who ran in 2016. A trial is set for next September. For Illinois Issues, I'm Mary Hansen.
You can find the full report now at nprillinois.org.